Good. Well, let's close in prayer, and we'll just... it's a good series. Okay, good. No, I was curious. I knew there would be some in here that have done that. I know others of you are just in here because you're hoping you'll see a train wreck. You're just here for the show. Small group. I'm gonna have to control my small group in here. So, I'm guessing that most of you are in here because it's a topic of interest. It's something that, for whatever reason, you crave. You know, you want to. Maybe you have a relationship that has you've had conflict, and you're hoping to hear something about that. Maybe you hope to have deeper relationships with people. Maybe you've had trouble connecting, and you're hoping to, you know, be able to find something that'll help you connect better. Maybe it's you're here because you know, when you're here at church, you're hoping that maybe there'll be something that'll help you be a better friend. And you're not necessarily looking for something, but you're looking for ways to improve on being more aware of who's around you and what's what the possibilities and options are. It's interesting, though, as just, you know, living life, being involved in ministry, whether it be the youth group ministry that we were involved in for a number of years or being an elder, how often the subject of friendship comes up. It's a pretty regular occurrence, even when we talked about paying off the new wing we're in here today. And when we were going through the process of making decisions on building this, one of the primary things that we thought about, not primary, but one of the big topics that we had ongoing discussion about was how do we set this up for to encourage people to be talking to one another and fostering those relationships while we have time in between services and things like that. Because we did the big room before, and you have this big room full of people, and some people love that. They want to go in and they could just work a room like nobody's business. And other people can't stand the idea of doing that. They'd rather go sit in the car and wait for Sunday school to start. And yeah, you have all these, you know, this wide variety in between there. And so I don't know how many of you got coffee over here in the corner, but that was actually a consideration. Well, what about the people that don't want to get their coffee out there and be in a big setting with lots of people? They'd rather come in here, have coffee in the classroom, and have a more private setting to talk to people about. That was a consideration. It's a piece of equipment. It's a program. It's not going to solve, you know, every problem that people have with their relationships. But it's something that we thought through to try to foster the opportunity for people to get together and hopefully find that thing that fits what they want to do. So even small things like that were taken into consideration, and so it's definitely something that comes up. And as leadership, it's something that's considered on a regular basis. Things do come to us, comments, conversations, some ways we can improve as a church. This class, though, is going to be more personal, individual. What can you do to foster those relationships that you desire? Hopefully, if some of you might even be here and be like, you know, I've got a lot of friends and I'm pretty satisfied with the relationships I have in my life. There's going to be some challenges there for you as well. So, as life has become more hectic, we're busier, we are more, as a culture, way more self-focused than maybe cultures in the past have been. We've become a lot more electronic, right? Texting, social media, there's all kinds of new ways we communicate that we didn't have available to us before. I don't know if I mentioned self-focused. We're a lot more self-focused than we used to be. And we're self-focused. We're a lot more interested in ourselves. And it is culturally not only accepted, but it's encouraged to focus on number one, make sure like when you get on the plane and they drop the masks and they tell you that you have to take care of yourself before you take care of everybody else. We kind of apply that general principle. I know I do when I'm hungry. I want to make sure that I get to eat so that I can serve my kids better. It seems like stuff like that. So we kind of have that idea when it comes to our relationships, things like that. You know, we got to take care of number one. How can we love others if we don't love ourselves? This is the stuff that we're told. And so we're going to be getting into some things here. What this class is not, just so you know, is it is not going to be like a 12-step program that's going to give you like just surefire. If you do these, you know, 12 things, you're just guaranteed to have an abundance of great relationships. We are going to do some application type things as we go through the class, but this isn't going to be just some, you know, some program. This is going to be looking at our hearts. That's where this, that's where the whole thing starts, and we're going to really be focusing on that. I do want you to know, I don't consider myself to be some kind of like friendship guru, and that's why I chose to do this. I have relationship problems just like everybody else, and there's always things that we could be doing better. It's also, I found when I was reading a book, and the main resource besides the scriptures that I used, I don't know if you've read this book, it's by Tim Lane, Paul Tripp, it's called Relationships, A Mess Worth Making. Has anybody read this book? A couple of you? Okay. It's really good, and it doesn't matter if you feel like you're, you know, the worst person in friendship in the world, or whether you think you're great, you will be convicted by this book. It's got a lot of really good stuff in it, and we're gonna. It was a kind of a primary resource, it was a great read. So the last few weeks when I was reading it was very challenging for me, and so I'm coming hopefully just with with an attitude and a heart of being in the same place as all of you, and we're all working to do this better and to bring glory to God through our relationships. So I'm going to ask, there will be times when I'll ask for feedback, and I know that this can be, I had one of our leaders here at the church tell me when I said I was doing this topic that I was a very brave man, and I've had other people say, how are you going to get 9 weeks out of that? So it's going to be easy, but I'd like to open up, I just want some opinions on this. What is a friend? What are some attributes of a friend? Trustworthy. Good. Loyal, okay. Honest.
Someone who's there when you are having a crisis.
Okay. Someone who's there when you need, when there's need. What did you say?
Reliable,
okay. Genuine, okay.
Somebody that you can feel free to talk to.
Okay. Selfless, good. Okay. Be. Someone to celebrate with you? Yeah, good. Okay, someone will reprove, rebuke. It is. What else? Anything else? Yeah. All right. There's the man side of thing, right?
So. I'm gonna talk with you for 2 hours.
That's good. Was that the comedian that talked about, we went golfing for 4 hours and wife gets home and says to his wife, his wife says, well, what'd you find out about such and such? He's like, well, I don't know, he got a new set of irons, right? Right?
If the day you
someone to accept your Facebook request. Accepts your Facebook request, likes your post.
Yes.
All right. Anything else? That is a big thing for you as you look at who a friend is. There is a lot of things that were mentioned here. Character qualities, time investment, selflessness. I mean, there's just a number of things that were given here. One of the things that's true is that we all value certain things at different levels, right? Brian wants to sit and watch a game with someone and enjoy it without having to talk too much. Dawn wants to be able to sit and talk with someone for 2 hours, and there are some, you know, male and female differences there possibly, but that's not always generally true either. We all have these different ideas of things that we would like to see happen in relationships. What are some things, and being specific, in your own life, is there anything that you've done over the years, or maybe it's been something more recent, you've done to try to be more intentional yourself as far as being a friend of somebody or being available? Is there any steps you've taken in the past? Watch Pride and Prejudice. I'm all right.
A decision, like to call and say, do you want to go to the conference with you? Like the women's conference.
Okay.
And then that sparked the friendship.
Okay, so you made a decision to actually reach out and take action.
I made an appointment.
Made an appointment?
I made an appointment.
With who?
With my friend.
With your dad to watch Pride and Prejudice? With your friend, okay.
Yeah, I just went to her work and I said, we're going to have lunch. What day works for you?
Okay. So you just made, again, being intentional, you took a step.
Yep.
Daniel?
For me at work, it's good to have lunch at work when I could go out.
Sticking around,
yeah.
being there.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Pete?
Pays back the money he borrowed.
I think that's a different topic. That's a... Somebody owed Pete money. That's actually not a bad quality, right? That goes with trustworthy and reliable, but... Okay. So doing something that you are like kind of personally opposed to in order to build a bridge.
Or it's hard.
Or is difficult, right? Not something you're just naturally involved in. So you took a step to do something that would build a bridge that you may not normally. Good, good. I have one big rule for this class, and that is as you're sitting here, and you're hearing the things that people are saying, and you're hearing the things that we're talking about, you're not allowed to think about other people in the sense that I'm glad they heard that. All right? So I want you to be examining your own heart in this class and not someone else's. And that's a big deal. I don't, you know, so when you go home and you start talking to your spouse and be like, you know, I really hope that so-and-so heard that part of that. So we want to be honest with ourselves. We want to do real self-examination, and we're going to do that today. Starting with the, we're going to be in the scriptures quite a bit today. Today's a foundational week. What I want to do is I want to hopefully we're going to look through scripture. We're going to look at who God is and how relational we actually are by nature, and how important it is to Him that we have these relationships. So the first thing we're going to look at, and you could spend a whole career on the Trinity, right? I mean, the fact that God is triune and has relationship with Himself is the foundation of this whole thing. You guys remember when Bruce Ware came? Was that like a decade ago or something like that? He spent his whole career as a prof focusing on the Trinity, and it's amazing. And he spoke several times here on that. We're not going to get into all of that. But at the same time, the fact that we have a God that has spent his entire eternity in relationship with Himself as the Trinity, and then we'll get to our part of that in the future, it's pretty remarkable. I mean, He's lived in perfect relationship, perfect harmony with Himself before He ever created us, before there was any other creation. The best example, we're given several examples in Scripture about the showing the communication between a couple of parts of the Trinity, right? The most common one we have is the Son, as He prayed to the Father. And probably the most pointed example we have showing the relationship of the Trinity is actually when it became fractured. When Jesus was on the cross, and Linda, I'm going to have Linda read Mark 15:34. Jesus is taken on our sin, and He, you know, before He dies, He says one thing. What was that, Linda?
At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloni, Eloni, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why hath You forsaken Me?"
Okay, so as He took on our sin, for the first time in eternity past, the relationship was fractured. Between those two. And we spend a lot of time paying attention in the crucifixion and Easter time and with the crown of thorns and with the nails and all the stuff that we would feel physical pain. The biggest thing for Him was being separated from the Father. And He wasn't even separated from the Father by His own doing. It was ours. It was our sin separated Him. And He, even to the point that He cried out on the cross, "Why have You forsaken Me?" So you can see the strength of the relationship they have there. It's who God is that relational being. The second part of this, and Jared, if you'd read Genesis 1:26, is our part. Go ahead, Jared.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creature."
Okay, so we have God, who is a relational being, making us in his image. I think oftentimes, especially when like you're a kid, you start wondering, does God have, you know, fingers and eyes? And you think of your physical image. I think the biggest way we're made in his image is this relational aspect. We were made this way. But the problem is we don't have, you know, we are just us. We don't have other parts of our being like he does. And so we were created to have relationship. We were as creatures made in his image. Dave, Genesis 2:18.
Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him."
Okay, so we have now the point that he creates Eve and gives Adam a suitable helper. The statement that is made that it is not good for man to be alone wasn't necessarily a statement specific to Adam and his personal neediness. And his need because, you know, we just realized he needs somebody, right? God didn't, that wasn't what was happening. It was a general statement about his nature. Man, it is not good for man to be alone. And this statement is directly saying we're made for relationships. Adam was made for relationships. So there's a lot of different relationships that we have. In this case, he gives him Eve. It's the first picture of marriage we have. So we do have that specific thing. You hear this at weddings a lot. We go through that. You know, God gave Adam a personal helper that was going to live in communion with, and they were going to become one flesh and all of that. So if the only takeaway from this is that man and women were made for each other and all the normal arguments, what about the people that never marry, right? What about those of us who are widowed? What about those of us who are single still, if we're young or whatever, or older? What about those people? Are they not living out God's will because they did those things? The point I want to make is that this is just saying we're relational. We have a need for relationships. We are created for them. It's part of who we are. And whether that happens in marriage relationship, you have parent-child relationship, we have all these different relationships, friends, all these things. We're made for each other. So I just threw out a couple, but what are some different types of relationships that you might have in your own life? What are some of the some of the things? We just mentioned spouse or marriage. What else is there?
Coworker.
Neighbor. Siblings. Father and son. Your cat? All right, I'm going to leave that one alone for now. I may get to it later, though. All right, so what other relationships do we have?
Boss-employee,
good. What else exists?
Fellow believers.
Good. Brothers and sisters in Christ, right?
Relatives.
What kind of relatives? Yeah, good. You have all kinds of relatives, right? You have close relatives that have lived in your house with you. You've had further relatives that you just learned their name. Yeah. It's amazing. When you're a fleck, you get asked, "Oh, how are you related to so-and-so?" It's like, I've never heard of that person. Okay, grandkids. Yep. Good. In-laws. Yep.
Teammates.
Good. Anybody else? Yeah, yep, brothers and sisters in Christ, church, school friends, right? So if we were to put all these, and I don't have a visual for you, if we were to put all these with the top one being the one that you invest the most in, probably would be a marriage in that case, and then you go down from there, probably parent-child, probably from there you have siblings, and you just keep going down, all the way to just general acquaintance. And you had this in a list. I kind of had number one being marriage, two being immediate family, maybe three being a close friend. Kids call it BFF. So maybe after that it's just a good friend. Maybe after that it's a friendly acquaintance. After that it's just an acquaintance, someone you know. What's the big difference between those relationships? Time. What else? Interest. Emotion. Huh? Importance. There is a difference in the priority.
God.
Yep. Absolutely. You're probably going to, hopefully, invest more in your marriage than you are, you know, with your boys, you know, or your girls.
Responsibility.
Yep. Absolutely. The biggest thing is, really, if you're going to compass all that stuff into one word, is intimacy. You're going to be closer, because of all those things, to your spouse than you're going to be to a coworker. You're supposed, hopefully. Or, yeah, if that's going on, we have a different issue. So, but the intimacy is the big difference. You start with God, and God knows our hearts, and He knows our motivations, and He knows everything. There is nobody that has a more intimate knowledge or relationship than God and His creation. After that, you live with your spouse. They know what you look like when you wake up in the morning. They might even know what you look like when you're sleeping, right? You live together. With your parents, you know, or siblings, you live in the same house for all these years. They know what your, you know, true nature was, your raw nature was as a kid before you were more sophisticated in hiding it in some cases, or before you grew out of it, hopefully. They've seen these, you see these things, and so you have this close relationship. But what we're going to be kind of focusing on, and a lot of the principles that we're going to be getting into is going to be geared towards friendship, but if you apply these things, it'll work. They work in marriage relationships too. They work in any relationship that we have, and it's especially important though to realize, I think, that if you had this list of people, we need to make sure that we. I'm not saying to go home and like make a chart and like start putting names next to the people in each one. You know, like I'm going to put Kim next to my wife, and I'm going to put my kids' names, and then close friends, I'm going to list out my close friends, and we're going to put everybody in a box and keep them there. But it is also important to understand that it is okay to have relationships with varying degrees of closeness. Not every single person that you're friends with has to be your best friend. Not everybody has to be at this certain level of depth, although you want to be making sure that you don't have that gap either, where you have no depth with anybody. When you look at your friends and your family, and you're looking at these different opportunities you have to put people where they, or to understand the type of relationship you have. I mean, there's people, just thinking about some of my teammates from college, somebody mentioned teammates, and they were they're some of my closest friends, but life has moved us apart. They live in other parts of the country, I live here. We know a lot about each other. We still talk about once a month, but the separation is there, and that's just the reality. So those guys that were really close friends have now moved down to just being good friends, and we're just not in each other's lives the same way we were. Same thing can happen when you come into a new church. All of a sudden, you have a new group of people. You might start ministering with somebody. You might grow in that relationship, and so there's going to be movement. This is not like a static thing that you're just going to be like, okay, I'm going to put everybody in the good friend category, and I'm going to know everything about everybody, and I'm going to be able to, you know, serve and minister in this way. You have to be okay. You have to be able to manage those expectations, and be able to minister to each person, and in where they are. Now, it doesn't mean you don't move people in your relationship from one place to another, but we'll get more into that as we go. How important is it to God that we have healthy relationships? I have John Blankenship. If you could read 1 John 4:20, 21.
If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, he has seen him, not loved God, and he has not seen him. In this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God and also loves his brother.
Okay, it's pretty pointed. So, obviously, in this case, it's not necessarily talking about, you know, Chad, for me. It's not talking about your brother just as your family. It's talking about all your relationships. And if we can say that we love another, or say that we love God and not love another, we're lying. And it's not possible for us to live out for God, or, you know, live God to God's glory, and be at odds with people. And to be living selfishly. It's interesting, Colossians 3 and Ephesians 4 is where we're going to spend most of our time in coming weeks. They're the passages, I think, that are the most pointed in terms of telling us how to live godly lives before before him with one another. But if you look at Colossians 3, and I didn't have anybody turn there, but if you look at Colossians 3, 1 says that we need to focus on the things above, right? Not on the things of this earth. And then it goes on for the whole rest of the chapter, and it tells us all these things that we're supposed to put off and put on. So we're supposed to put off anger and malice and wrath and gossip and abusive speech and all of these things. And then it tells us to put on compassion, humility, patience, gentleness, all these other things. And so when you start looking at those lists, you start realizing, oh my goodness, these things are all things that I would have to express to another person. There's nothing in there that doesn't involve relationships with other people. And I think that it can become easy for us to compartmentalize our lives a little bit. We can say, okay, so we have these spiritual things over here, prayer, reading our Bibles, going to church, not committing certain sins or whatever, and think we're doing well. And then we have this other box that's our friendships, our relationships, and maybe even have those boxes compartmentalized. Okay, well, here's my family, and then here's these other people that are my friends, and there's other people I don't like. And we were able to kind of compartmentalize those things. And as long as I'm doing this, I'm doing well with my, working with my Bible study and prayer life's good, and I haven't been struggling with this certain sin, so spiritually I'm in great shape. But your relationships are totally fractured. You're not really investing in other people. You're not really involved. You're not in a position to help them when they need help, things like that. That's a spiritual problem as well. And we separate these things, and we give ourselves this false, we can give ourselves like a false assurance of how closely we're walking with the Lord. But then we read Colossians 3, seek the things above. And oh, by the way, here's how you do this. All personal relationship stuff. Brian, would you read Ephesians 4, 29 through 32?
Let no unwholesome words proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of men, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with your malice. Be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgave you.
So before you freak out about how fast I'm going through these passages, this is all foundational. We're going to actually spend quite a bit of time in Ephesians 4, if not next week, the following week. It's this verse or this chapter starts with us being told to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, and the whole rest of the chapter, just like in Colossians 3, is about relationships, about being involved with people. But the part of this I want to look at right now is it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So in the topic of how important does God consider relationships to be, actually, we can actually grieve Him, grieve the Holy Spirit, with our inattention to one another. It's a big deal. And for us to compartmentalize and be like, yeah, I'm okay with, I can put on a smile on my face and I can get around church on a Sunday morning and feel like I'm okay with people. And as long as there's no conflict, I'm good. And just move on with your week, go about our busy lives, and we can totally be delinquent to our responsibility as Christians and who we are as relational beings made in God's image. And so what I'm hoping to achieve today is to help us understand the importance of it. The reason that I wanted to do this class, and I was actually talking to Brian, we talked about doing this class in 2009. So 7 years ago, we talked about it. I'm glad I didn't try to teach it then, because I probably, 7 years of experience and watching this and being on the elder board and things like that probably added to, the directions that we could go with this. But it's a huge topic. And you see it outside of the church, too. It's not just here. I know people are just hungry for real friendship. They're hungry for a real relationship. There's a lot of attention paid to things like personality. I'm an introvert, so I can't make friends, or I'm an extrovert, so people are irritated by me. There's all these things that that we have that's in front of us, with the stuff on social media, you know, with, you know, 12-step stuff and so on and so forth. So I felt like it was a good thing to try to tackle. The timing's pretty good because it's New Year, right? We're all kind of ready for a fresh start and maybe have some new opportunities. But one of the things this book really brought to my attention was since we believe in the sovereignty of God, we all have people in our lives, right? They're just a bunch of people. And we tend to think that, and we get irritated with each other, right? We have conflict. We have all this stuff because of sin, which we're going to talk about next week. I'm going to wear a dark suit next week. Just take some page out of Gary's book, I guess. But we have all these people in our lives. And if we believe that God is sovereign, then we should believe that every single person that's in our lives was placed there for a reason. And there's not a single relationship that we have that's an accident. If you think about how much control do you really have all through your life with the people that are in your life? I mean, you certainly didn't get to choose your family, did you? You were placed in a family with a group of people. What about your school you went to? When you were 5 years old and you're getting ready to school, did you have any choice in where you went to school and who the other kids in that class were going to be? Where you work? You have an opportunity, you go. When you take that job, you have no idea who's going to be in your life. We think we have some control. Well, I like the people at that church. I'm going to go to another one. Or this job stinks. I'm going to go do another one, so on and so forth. But every day we have people that are put in our lives purposefully for God's glory. And so the issue is not whether or not you have friends and relationships. The question is, how good of a steward are you of the ones you've been given? And I thought that was kind of an interesting point. I never really thought of it that way. Again, we tend to compartmentalize a lot of things. And so we have a responsibility to be good stewards of the relationships we've been given. So when you look at the various stages of a person's life, and this came right out of the book too, and it's so I'm going to plagiarize it because I thought it was really good. When we're first conceived, we are reliant totally on our mom to survive. We can do nothing, right? So we're already relying on another person. Once we're born and we rely on our family for survival, you know, Cannon wouldn't last 4 seconds without us. Poor kid. But as we become teenagers, we expand out from our families and we desire the acceptance of peers and we start to pull toward deeper and meaningful relationships. We want to have connection with people. That also can happen in family with a teenager as well. It also can become fractured and go the other direction. As we become adults, we have all these intersecting communities, right? We have family life, we have church life, we have our neighbors, we have work. We have all these things that collide and all these different people that come into our lives that we don't have as much when we're younger. As we get older, we start looking back on our lives and we realize that our fondest memories and our greatest hurts all revolve around relationships. There aren't too many memories, and I would be willing to bet if you have a person on their deathbed and you ask them to talk about some of their greatest memories, they're going to involve other people. They're not going to be, you know, what they accomplished in work, and it's not going to be most likely what, you know, maybe some people would do that, but most people it's going to revolve around others. And then finally, the saddest moment you can experience in your life is when you're separated from a loved one in death. And so to make this case complete, we have been created to be friends. We've been created to have relationships. We've been tasked with glorifying God in our relationships. And so it's going to be, I think it's a good topic to get into. I hope that this week, as you ponder and think about these things, maybe even as you're making resolutions or thinking about how you want to improve in various ways, that it's one of the things that you'll consider is, how can I be more involved in other people's lives? How can I be a friend to them? Friendships are not optional. You know, I think we've all seen like the cabin in the woods, like in Montana or Alaska, and been like, oh, wouldn't that be great? Just me and my dog and my cat, you know? For some people, wouldn't it be great just to go out there and leave this mess behind and all these issues we have with people? As Christians, we can't do that. And as we just showed, we don't want to in reality. That a lot of times when we get to that point, it's because we're in conflict or things are difficult. And it's just something we're thinking about. Based on what we just saw in Scripture, I would submit to you that we don't have, we could be in sin if we take that posture and we start to try to avoid the different things that we have. And the last one, Jack, if you would read James 3:9.
With it, you bless our Lord and Father, and with it, you curse people who are made in the likeness of God.
Okay, it is the tongue. We have a tongue that can come here and praise the Lord and then turn around and we can, think about it, we're all guilty of this. When we choose to avoid someone because we're afraid they'll consume too much of our time in the hallway, when we gossip, when we get angry and lash out at our family member because they annoyed us, not even if it's a sin issue, even if it's parent-child, when we avoid someone because we're afraid of something, when we exploit someone because we want something from them, we can't. I mean, all of these things are things that we tend to do at some point. Even if it's not on purpose, it's pretty easy to use someone else because they make us feel good when we talk to them for whatever reason, and we'll get into that in like week 3 or 4. There can be these underlying things. Every time we do that, we are with our tongue praising the Lord and at the same time cursing man. We are sinning in that. And since we've been made in God's likeness, it becomes a personal affront on God, because not only are we sinning and denying our own humanity, remember we're made to be relational beings, but we're also cursing the other person, and we're ultimately cursing the God who created them. So there is when we get into like next week, when we start looking at sin, we're going to look at it, it's the problem with relationships. It's what screws this whole thing up. It's like, well, yeah, we're created on one hand to be relationships and friends and stuff like that, but on the other hand, everything keeps getting screwed up. And the reason it gets screwed up is because of sin, right? For us, for the other person, messes it all up. So we're going to look at that. The following week, though, we're going to look at underlying sneaking things that get into our lives that aren't necessarily like outright sin, things that kind of come in the back door that we start to do with one another. We may place too high expectations on someone. We may only like being with that person because we get something out of it, because they make us feel a certain way, because, you know, those types of things that are rooted in pride, that are rooted in sin, but maybe are a little less obvious than gossip. So we're going to get into that the third week. The fourth week, we're going to look at what a biblical view of friendship looks like. There's several friendships that we have examples of in Scripture. After that, we're going to look at different obstacles we face. This is where it's going to get a little bit more, applicational, in the sense that hopefully we'll be able to take some things. We're going to spend a whole week on the fear of man. It's a huge, huge issue when you're talking about the fractures in relationships. What we're going to spend a week on, just the obstacles that we have with life, busyness, personalities, mediums, things like that. We'll talk about those things. And then the last 2 weeks, I want to kind of end on more of like a positive, like charge type thing. We're going to talk about repairing broken relationships and forgiveness. And then the last week, strengthening and building better relationships and things we can do to go out and do that. But we'll be working through that through the end of February. We got to be careful. I want to just kind of close with this. We got to be careful not to compartmentalize. But one of the statements that this guy made that was really interesting was, he said, you cannot take, this guy's Tim Lane, by the way, the author of the book, you can't take the gospel seriously and not your relationships. You must take your relationships seriously. You must invest. You must put time into them. A lot of that is priority. We got to make priority. Yes, I'm hungry after church. I must go eat. But this person might need something. You know, let's talk about it and see if we can be of help to them, those types of things. That's a real simple example, but those types of things. We have to take this seriously. It is a very important topic. And my hope is, as we go through this, that you'll be challenged to do a lot of self-reflection in terms of your own heart, that you'll be honest with yourself as you determine, is this something I could do better with? Is this something that I can honor the Lord better in these relationships? I do want to make the point that just because you might be a quiet person or a talker or because of all these types of things, it is possible to have to be on both sides of that personality spectrum and still have no meaningful relationships or too few. And so I hope we'll cover all that. Like I said, if you guys want to be involved in like reading along with it, we're not going through it chapter by chapter, but this is a really good book. I think they might have it in our library here at the church. If they don't, just get on Amazon and get it. I mean, they're not, you know, overly expensive. I just got this one from my mom. So that's a really cheap way to do it, if you can. I have to give it back to her at the end. But I'll give it back, Mom. So anyway, so that's this week's that's the challenge this week. Does anybody have anything they'd like to? We have a couple of minutes left. We have 2 or 3 minutes. Douglas.
Two things. One is, what about relationships that you don't really want to foster? Maybe it's at your holy
league.
They're trying to come in between you and maybe your spouse.
Sure.
So that's one thing.
Yep.
Is there a positive way to approach that relationship somewhere at work or something?
Yeah.
Not happening to me.
Start playing golf instead.
Yeah.
Leave the bowling league.
And then the other thing is, you know, we're always supposed to have a relationship with our spouse at the very top.
Yep.
Except really, it's actually our personal relationship with Christ.
Yep.
And that's always a weird thing. It's like when you lose your spouse and, you know, they go to with the Lord.
Yeah.
You lose that closest person to you that you see every day.
Right.
And how do you... So that's always been a struggle.
It is.
You're going to interject some of that during the...
Yeah, in fact, when we start getting into the fourth week, the biblical friendship, the biggest thing, you know, to get ahead of ourselves a little bit, the biggest thing is your relationship with the Lord. You cannot have healthy relationships with other people that are actually rooted in other... being other-centric, being focused on other people, and not be devoted to the Lord with your heart, with your whole heart. And so we'll talk about that. Yeah, that's good. Jeff?
One thing I think we really need to keep in mind, be aware of, not meant to take the situation of war.
Yeah.
We say and do things, we got to be very careful with honoring God and everything. Don't you keep knowing you're a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to say things that honor and keep God.
Yeah. So the reason why I kind of went through the like different categories of friendship is because there is different places you put people, and that's a good, like when you're at work, and I'm not saying you wouldn't have friends at work, but as far as building like really strong relationships, it's probably going to come with another believer, right? It's going to become with someone that you're both walking, you're searching after the Lord, and you're, you know, working together. Like for Brian and I, for example, we've become better and better friends through the years. Most people just kind of assume that we were like good buddies because we grew up together. But really, I mean, we didn't get really all that close until we started serving youth ministry together. And we worked on that for 6 or 7 years. And, you know, getting together, trying to think of ways to encourage the kids, trying to think. Sure. And in a relationship like that, it's going to become closer. What I was getting ready to get to was with like work relationships. You're talking about being like a, being a testimony before an unbelieving world. That's going to change the relationship, right? You're probably not going to enter into the type of friendship that you would with a brother and sister in Christ. In fact, you probably shouldn't, unless you're moving. But that doesn't mean you can't be their friend. It doesn't mean that you can't be a support to them. It doesn't mean you can't help them. It doesn't mean you can't be showing them Christ all along. You can, absolutely, sure you can. Every situation, that's why we're going to deal mostly with the heart here, because everybody's got different sphere of influence, right? Everybody has a different situation. Some people go to work, some people stay home with their kids. Some people are retired. Some people are in college, right? Some people, I mean, everybody's in a different situation. And what?
I'm retired.
Well, I know, that's why I threw that out there. So, what do you do all day anyway? Yeah, way to bring that up. You know, you and all your coworkers.
I just spent a lot of time with coworkers.
So, but it was something that Dan brought up with coworkers, trying to be intentional and being there to be a friend of them, be an example, a testimony to them, and that's a great thing to do. And there is a place for that. There's definitely a place for that. And so you might hope, you know, Dan, you hopefully out of this class, you'll be able to get some things that'll help you encourage in that way. For some of you, you might say, you know, I've got a whole big group of people here that I really enjoy spending time with, and but I feel like it's too surfacey, and I'd like to get deeper with some people. And like Rochelle mentioned at the beginning of the class, hey, we need to have better friends, closer friends that we can do life with, and that's a good, that's a noble thing to desire for sure. For some people, it might be a conflict thing. I'm at conflict with these two people, and you know, this person's so difficult for me. And hopefully, you'll be able to, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about is going to fit for all those things. And you should be able to hopefully take those things out and apply them to your own situation. So, anybody else? Pete.
You've got to be able to remember that they became the retired people. They've been able to remember that they became professional loiterers.
The retired people are professional what?
Loiterers.
Loiterers. Professional loiterers. All right, it's true. All right, we're not picking on retired people here, totally. Kind of, maybe a little bit. We're all just jealous, Jeff. Yeah, that's a good point. You retired people have a great opportunity to have really cool ministries.
And by the way, so, I haven't lost all my relations with people at work.
Good. So you've kept in touch with them. Good. Absolutely, that's great. Continue being having a ministry even after that. Yeah, you retired people, you guys need to, you know, y'all got time and money that no rest of us don't have. So, yeah, be involved in stuff. So, all right, that's all for this week. If you're interested in the book, just come up and talk to me. I'll give you the information.